So thank you for the organizer to invite me to give this talk. And so first of all, I talk about the instability and the control. And then I talk a little bit about the development of mechanical resonators at UWA. So first of all, I give some introduction for the parametric instability and all the observation results. And so I touch a bit of the PI control at advanced LIGO and mostly about the AM acoustic mode damper. And so there is a potential thermal noise contribution for the high frequency. And I also touch about the simulation, PI simulation for the Voyager and the Cosmic Explorer. And at last, I make some, showing some results for the fabrication of the mechanical resonator. So let's start with just a simple principle. So we have if we have just a simple cavity, we have a fundamental mode laser power injecting the cavity and that build up of the power. If high power is circulated in the cavity, if we have the mirror have a vibration, the surface vibration will scatter the light into the high order mode. This scattering depends on the pattern of the surface of the vibration of the mirror. So this two modes inside a cavity and beating together create some radiation pressure force. This radiation pressure force apply back on the surface of the mirror. And if this frequency, this is a fundamental mode resonant frequency, this is a high order mode frequency of the cavity. If this mode frequency is close to the mechanical resonant frequency, so this force will drive the back to the surface. So this can be explained as a little bit more with a classical feedback phenomenon. So this is the zero mode. So if the mirror has a vibration because of any kind of excitation, so this zero mode will scatter into high order mode. So these two modes will beat and together and drive the create a radiation pressure and the feedback to drive the mechanical vibration. So if the phase is correct, we create a feedback, positive feedback loop. And if the positive feedback gain is greater than unity, then we create instability. So first of all, we built an 80 meter cavity at the Jingjing in Western Australia. So first of all, we observed a little bit low gain of parametric instability, and then we managed to build up the power. So then we can see the high gain instability. Then you can see this exponential build up of the mechanical mode amplitude and also the high order mode amplitude build up. So this build-up time is depends on the parametric gain, also the circulating power. So when LIGO, advanced LIGO started up, build up the power, also see this kind of instability. So this is the mode involved in the instability. So this is the first one, it's the mirror surface displacement of the mode vibration. And this is the third order optical modes of the cavity modes. So when the power is high enough, they can the certain times this mechanical mode is built up. You can see the exponential build up, and there is some saturation of the electronic. And when we reduce the power, this is a ring down of the mechanical resonance. So parametricity do exist, and also this is already be controlled. So So first of all, we look at it, how can we control the parameter instability? So before that, let's look at it, just a simple formula for this parameter instability gain. So the first thing we could do simply is to tune the radius curvature of the mirror. So if you tune the radius curvature of the mirror, then you can tune the frequency of the resonant frequency of the high order mode. So then you can tune this the delta omega. So that if we increase this delta omega, this is the parametric gain will be reduced. So that's the first thing we could do. And the second thing is we can use just a simple feedback control. So we have, so this parameter instability, it's a positive feedback loop. If we can control, use the negative feedback to suppress that positive feedback, then we can also suppress the instability. So yeah, the advanced LIGO, they tried using electrostatic feedback to suppress the instability. So another thing we could do also is to try to change the QM, the mechanical resonant Q factor. So what initially MIT proposed to use this called the acoustical mode damper, dynamically damp the mechanical Q, but with minimum thermal noise contribution. So the first of all, let's look at the what called the thermal tuning. So this blue curve is all this mechanical resonant frequency, and this is the wide resonant curve is the optical mode resonance. So when this optical mode resonance is close to the mechanical frequency, this gain will be higher, then we create instability. But if we can tune the radius curvature and tune the frequency and move this resonant optical resonance away from the mechanical resonance, then we can reduce the gain. So that's what actually advanced LIGO initially used the way to suppress the first instability. The next thing is so the thermal tuning, there's some drawbacks. It's we can tune from one mode, but there's possibility to shift to another resonance. So there's some limit. Especially when you have multi-mode unstable modes, it's very hard to find the sweet point. You can suppress all the mechanical modes. So in that case, we can use another way. So it's called a feedback control. So for the advanced LIGO, there is an electrostatic actuator between the reaction mass and the test mass. So what we could do is, we can measure transmit the mode, the beating between the higher order mode and the fundamental mode that detected the resonance of the high order mode inside the cavity and also the mechanical mode resonance amplitude. So then you do the feedback to actuate on the applied force on the electrostatic actuator. So then you can suppress this the resonance. So you can see that the curve here is initially without any control, the mechanical resonance is built up. And at some stage we apply this feedback force, you can see that the resonance is being suppressed. This is actually there's a very small force applied on the actuator. So this is the nanonewton range of the force applied on the between these two mirrors by the electrostatic actuator. As we said that, so another way to control the parametric stability is using called acoustic mode damper. So the principle of this is, so this mechanical damper is designed to be this resonance of the modes of this resonator. It's close to the mechanical mode frequency of the test mass. So in between of these two blocks, there's a PZT. So this is piezo electric transducer. When the damper is oscillating, creates some strain on the PZT, creates some electrical field. Then if you connect these wires, this create a loop. And this current create the current and dissipate energy on the resistors, so that's create some loss. Particularly, this loss is high on the resonant frequency, but when it's not resonant, this dissipation is very small. So that make a low Q, high dissipation on the resonant frequency, but the low dissipation on the off resonance. So if we can put a multi of this a damper designed to be on the targeted frequency of the resonance, test mass resonant modes, we can cover most of this test mass acoustic modes. So what we do is to put the four of this damper on the test mass barrel. So this four of the acoustic mode dampers can cover most of the unstable modes of the advanced LIGO test mass. So this is the design. So this is the target resonant frequency. So this is a range is 3 dB of the loss of the mechanical damper. So advanced LIGO test this just recently. So put four mechanical damper on the ETM. And on the ITM, still the free test mass. So when this thermal transient scans the frequency, optical mode frequency through the 15.5 kilohertz unstable modes, you can see that on the ETM, this is always stable, but ITM mode, because no damp there, you can see the instability build up. So that proves that this damper is effective. So of course you can damp that acoustic mode, but you don't want the thermal noise increase, because that will increase the sensitivity.
So is the horizontal axis, I see the label is too small. Is that time?
It's time.
But I see this, I don't know, this red line still.
Yeah, this is
just it drifts upward. It's not that big, but it still drifts upward in time.
So this is a drift, but this is not instability.
Okay.
So this small peak is excitation to measure the effective parametric gain. So you can see it's not very clear, the parametric gain is very small. So as I just said that, we want to put that damper on the test mass, but don't want to introduce extra thermal noise. For the moment, there is no very clear thermal noise increase on the sensitivity go. So this shows off all the mechanical coil change with when the damper is on and damper without damper, pre-damper and post after the damper attached to the test mass. So most of these modes, especially modes around the 15 kilohertz, it's reduced dramatically. So that's the design. So we have seen that the noise of thermal noise in the detection band of advanced LIGO is not increased, cannot be seen any sensitivity degradation. But if we simulate this noise at high frequency, this is just the preliminary results. We have done that. So this is just the test mass thermal noise, no coating thermal noise. But so after applied AMD, so you can see the noise is in a decrease until we reach the first resonance of the test mass. There's not really any AMD noise we can see yet. So this is the first small resonant frequency is around 5.9 kilohertz. So this is the first results we just got. But I have not really carefully checked this noise curve is right or not, but this just give you some indication what.
Can you explain why the slope is different of the blue and the red?
So this one just test mass.
Yeah. I see what it is, but I just wonder, what's the physical meaning why the slope is steep for the blue one at the low frequency? It's a different, the red one is like 1 over f, but the other one is f squared or something.
So the red one is thermoelastic noise?
No, I don't have thermoelastic noise.
Brownian noise.
Yeah, that's right.
But why is the blue one Brownian noise so steep?
I think it depends on the coupling of this AMD noise.
Sure. Well, why?
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
It's very odd. I mean, even the substrate noise, I mean, it's not square root of f. It's almost square, right? Like,
yeah, this is because of this kind of noise added together. So the.
I mean, like from 100 to 1000. So it's like order of magnitude and frequency, but in amplitude, it's like. Factor of 1.5, so.
Yeah. It's almost flat.
Yeah, it's almost flat. And then the blue one is kind of like square root of f.
Yeah, so this is almost flat because of the Q dependence on frequency, loss frequency dependent on.
How steep do you think it is? I thought it.
It is at the higher frequency, almost flat. Because of
I thought the coefficient on the loss is like 0.15 f to the 0.15 or something. Is it?
No. It's proportional to f. So we just got this coefficient from the recent paper. They measured of this.
This is for silica.
Yeah, for silica.
This is Brownian noise of the mirror. There's no coating
included. Okay, so to understand this noise coupling, we did some one-dimensional simulation to try to understand the physics. And so the test mass itself, the oscillation is like a harmonic oscillator with M and with some loss and spring. So if we just do the spring mass spring system, so there's a resonance peak there. But if you add a damper, resonant damper there, so if without the loss, these two harmonic oscillators will couple together, you split the resonant frequency, and you can see the 2p. If you add a strong damping on the resonant damper, you can make this top smooth and just reduce the Q of the whole this resonance and the far from the resonance there's not much change in the response. So this is the original idea of this resonant damper. Because of this damper is grooved with the epoxy, and there's lots of noise and mechanical loss in the contacts, and of course also this loss, there's some contribution to the summer noise, depends on the frequency range we care about. So is that possible we can do a bit better? So to improve the noise coupling to the high frequency, what do we think is that if we can move the high loss part far from the test mass and using multi-stage damper. So there's a possibility we can reduce the coupling to the high frequency. You can see the transfer function of this compare with the single damper and the multi-stage damper. Of course, this is just a one-dimensional model. So this is just the Q or transfer function of this comparison of the single stage and the multi-stage. So as we just said, we possibly for the whole test mass, we have four single stage damper. But if we have a three stage damper, we could have just two, this is multi-stage, and you could create a similar performance at the resonant frequency, but the higher frequency, you can see the response is a little bit better. So we have not really have a detailed simulation to prove that, but this is just some idea. So
is there a way, like, how does this depend on where do you put this damper, right? Like is there a way to damp the mode but still have minimal impact on the summer noise?
Are you going to use my slides?
So Rana have a sort of idea. So his idea is so we are not using the epoxy to glue the damper on test mass, but using some trick to hold the damper in place without this epoxy loss to the test mass.
Can you put the damper on some nodes of the mode, or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what's symbolized by this pink thing.
What's that?
Yeah, so this is the mirror face. The beam has this pattern, like what Joe showed. And then this is the side view, we're looking from this side. And on the side, we cut it flat like this. And so on this flat side, we make some grooves. So now if you zoom in on this part, looking from this direction, you see this pattern that basically inside of the mirror, we come into the mirror with the laser or some acid, and we cut some little patterns into it, like a filigree pattern, like lace. And we make a detailed design like this so that for each of the higher order modes, we have a good coupling between the strain field and the strain, this damping material. But we make it so that for the Gaussian beam, which is the gravitational wave of degree of freedom, we have a low coupling. It's a nodal tomography.
Yeah, so we still need more optimization to, yeah.
This is nothing, right? We need some optimization.
Yeah.
This is a dream.
Yeah, so we just have some idea at the moment, so we need a little bit more simulation to optimize where to put and what's...
You know this Gaussian beam profile, so just using this, I don't know.
Levin's method to apply the force on the surface and the Gaussian beam force, and then we can see the strain, different frequency, that's the idea.
Yeah, there's a nice development view, which is about this meshing thing. What I was telling you, I always have a lot of trouble with this meshing using the software.
Yeah.
But you know, Jeffrey Lovelace, who's in the numerical relativity world, he had some cool meshing idea, because you have to mesh black holes, apparently, to do this neutron star simulation, neutron stars and black holes. So he redid this thing of doing the mirror thermal noise calculation, doing very fine adaptive thing. It's something like 40 times faster than COMSOL. So I think maybe he's going to try to do something like this, so we can do, basically we want to change this pink pattern, like in the Monte Carlo way. Just try a bunch of ideas and get the optimum. Okay, because it's not really easy to do analytically, because the mirror doesn't have a good symmetry. It's not round.
The mirror is radical, still radical symmetric. What do you mean by that?
It's relatively symmetric, but it's not actually symmetric. I mean, if it's a perfect cylinder, we could do it analytically. But in reality, when you look at the mirror, we have the different coating on the front and the back, and then these block ear things are different. And then because we're suspending it from the sides, actually there's a gravity load strain field. So you have to, it breaks all of this thing.
But these are like perturbations, these are.
Yeah, it's not a 1.1% perturbation, it's kind of wild. The mirror is made flat on the side, it's not 1%.
Oh.
Hmm? Which one? Pink. This is just a pattern. This is a trans function. Which part? This part?
The pattern.
Yeah, this is just a pattern.
This is like the coating that you...
No. So how to fix this damper on the...
It's not a coating, it's this digging thing that I was saying. Yeah. So you look at the little picture that says mirror. Basically, we dig into this mirror surface. Rather than bonding things, we just etch in a pattern that's deep, like a few millimeters or something like that deep into the mirror surface, and fill it with some metallic thing, like indium or gold or whatever. And that makes a kind of press fit.
So at the moment, this damper is grew on the surface. So the idea runner has you have some patterns, this is just putting, and when the system cool down, it's automatically patterned.
This is for few silicon?
Cool down, he said.
Silicon. So that's the...
It's a silicon.
Yeah.
That's the only one we're going to cool down.
Yeah.
We kind of want to put metal around the outside anyway, so that we could get some sort of tunability of the surface radius curvature.
And this doesn't add thermal noise broadband?
If you look at slide 4 of the presentation that Zhao and I just made on the chalkboard, we are hoping, we're dreaming, that it has this elliptic high-pass filter response. So you can, with inductors and capacitors, you can do it by this capacitor-inductor thing. You can make it so that from the mirror side, only the high-frequency energy goes to the resistive load. I think that's what he is saying a few slides before us. If you make a multi-stage system, then only the high-frequency energy gets into the lossy part.
Yeah.
And you can be protected from
Okay, so, yeah.
Sorry, just understand this is on the actual final test mass itself on the side that doesn't see the beam.
On the two sides. Like this is the beam and that's on
the... Oh, you're putting it on the
barrel.
The barrel.
Yeah.
Just to carve a bunch of crap into it and...
Well, scientific crap.
Scientific crap, yeah. It's crazy, but okay. Cool, thanks.
So this is the one-dimensional simulation, and this is the test mass, I think, and this is a single stage damper. So this is a multi-stage damper. So you can see the difference. It's just some idea. So we still need the F. Final element simulation to confirm this, and before we can say anything, yeah. So this is some of the idea. So what kind of dampers we have in mind? So there could be, you know, the multi the top stage. This is a three stage. So this is a cart and, you know, become a three stage. So we can have some like, you know, eddy current damping or, you know, piezo transducer also can be used. Or we can put some high loss material on the top so that have, say, 15 kilohertz resonance frequency. This is by the high loss. Yeah, that's another kind of thing. So that's some of the practical design. So we still need to optimize with the simulation. So that's the thing. So we still have the, you know, just a starting point to do this optimization and the design of the resonant damper for the multi-stage to reduce some noise at the higher frequency. So we also did some simulation for the Voyager and the Cosmic Explorer. Just a simple simulation to get some idea how many modes is involved in the cavity. We did if we have 3 megawatts, this is the unity gain of the parametric gain. So this is all this the mechanical modes and with all these parameters. So if
I don't understand the sign of the thing, less than zero is unstable.
No, so this is a little bit confused. So don't worry about so for the blue curve is 3 megawatts. This is zero is the, you know, the unit gain, and if above that is the unstable. So if we have 10 megawatts, the zero come to the red line.
So this is with dampers already?
No, so that's what I'm the next stage.
I get a very much worse answer. But I mean, when I did this thing, I saw a number of unstable modes, it's like 100.
Yeah, so the next. So this is just a simple cavity. Yeah. So that's, as you just said, this is a small number of modes, and the gain is, of course, if it's under resonance, the gain is very, very high. So that's just give some idea. So if you have 10 megawatts, then you have more modes and the gain will be higher, because the gain is proportional to the power. So if we have a resonance recycling, power recycling and the signal recycling, because this is the resonance enhanced and the boundaries of the whole interferometer is reduced, so your gain is increased and you could have more unstable modes inside the cavity.
Yeah, you just use this maximum gain? But
yeah, that's right. So that's at the moment. So we have not done the Monte Carlo simulation, but we plan to do that, to put all the GOI phase in the individual modes to do the simulation.
I wonder, in the place where the maximum gain is high, does it also mean basically you have a large number of unstable modes?
Not necessary. Yeah, because depends on how the frequency overlap with the, yeah.
We need a new number, which is something like badness. And it should be something like number of modes that are unstable plus how unstable. Because if it's a little bit unstable, it's easy to damp it.
Yeah, that's right. Back.
But
yeah.
If it's a super unstable mode, then that's really, really bad.
Yeah. So we step by step, we do this the mechanical FEM simulation, get some idea of the modes. Then next step, we want to put all the optical mode GOI phase and do the real analysis for the real situation. So of course, if you still continue with this recycling resonance in the both recycling cavities, you can see, because of this resonance line width is very narrow, you can see that there is a few of this area. So this is a radius curvature. So you can actually tune that without the parametric instability. So that's the reason, is because of the narrow resonance. Off resonance is actually suppressed. So idea is that so if we can put the damper at the same time on the test mass to simulate, we could find a bigger, large, safe area. I think it's a good idea to point the design in the safe region with maxima windows. So that's possibly its idea. Yeah. So that's the next thing we want to do.
How reliably can you predict the number of parametric instability modes? Like if you...
From the experience of advanced LIGO, it seems the simulation is quite consistent with the experiment.
In terms of the number, right? Frequency,
yeah, like if you pick some window because it looked nice and you build it there, you're saying that you would believe it would really...
Yeah. Well,
except you want to make this window a little bit bigger because the manufacturer also have the error, radius curvature has the errors, and as long as you put that.
You want the radius tuning capability because of the mode matching kind of thing. So it's good if you do this, because that means that gives us some freedom. We're not stuck to one radius.
Yeah.
So the baseline design for Voyager has no radius tuning ability whatsoever, because the fronts, the silicon test mass, we want to change the front surface curvature via thermal expansion, but the thermal expansion coefficient is zero, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
Okay, so the next step, we'll just do a little bit similar things for the CE and the 40 kilometers, and because the long cavity, the line width is narrow, you can see all these patterns, this dark and bright is because of the mode. Yeah, so if we put all the cavity resonance, the recycling cavity resonance, we can also see very fine white there. So still, this is without any damper. So next stage, we want to put all the damper there to see what's happening.
Yeah, just curiously, what is going on where you have a huge amount of modes there? Is that just one free spectral range, or
you mean all this?
No, in the top plot when you
Okay.
Halfway between 3 and 3.05, you've got like 1,000 modes there.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah.
So this is, I have not really investigated what's happened there. Yeah, so apparently there's So this is, I guess this is the one of the cavity modes, this is the resonance. And all these mechanical modes just sit, just overlap with the frequency with the optical mode. So I give a summary for the PI. So the AMD looks like promising for damper almost all the unstable modes for the advanced LIGO, current advanced LIGO. But the damper low frequency unstable modes, so AMD may have the potential to introduce extra thermal noise to the high frequency band of the detector, especially in the kilohertz. But this is not a confirmation, but we need a more detailed simulation to tell. And for the future detector, I think it's a good idea to have some detailed simulation to find the safe window and have some point design for that. So next part, I talk a little bit of the mechanical resonant development at the UWI. And we know that we need a low mechanical and optical loss resonator for the optical mechanics. Thomas will tell us more about the optical mechanics, but so because of the motivation of this requirement, we search a bit of the different mechanical resonator can achieve the high Q low loss resonator. So the first thing we look at is silicon nitride membrane. So what the current state is, you know, so at 140 kilohertz, the people reach about 100 million Q at room temperature. And also they machined all this photonic crystal on the membrane, it can reach the reflectivity about 99%. And another thing is, Thomas will tell us a bit more about the Argus coating material. That a few hundred hertz resonant modes can create Q around 10,000 or a little more. But optical loss is very, very low. So what we did, because we have this facility called a focused I-beam machine, just downstairs our office. So what we tried is, this is the 200 millimeter thick membrane. We made a 0.1 millimeter diameter pattern. This is photonic crystal pattern. So this is the zoom in of this pattern. So we ideally, if we have about 700 nanometer diameter of holes, drill holes on the, with this distance between holes about 100 nano or 1 micron. So we have to, we can design this pattern to have a high reflectivity at the wavelength you want. But in reality, when you machine these holes and you measure it, it's not really at the right frequency. So we have to iterate many, many times to get this the transmission measurement of the photonic crystals. So this is the one we just measured. So it's so you can see that this is the transmission of the photonic crystal. So we measure that, try to move to the 1064. So this is the zoom in around the 1064. It's close to 1064. It's here, but the minima is there. So the inferred the reflectivity is 99.5, but this is not real. Reflectivity is just inferred from the transmission. We don't know exactly what the reflectivity is. We will put that photonic crystal inside the cavity to measure it. So that's the next stage. The second the things we did, we try to do that, we design this the mirror suspended by the thin ribbon. So the whole thing is the air gas optical coating. So we just knew that the Q of this mechanical resonator is not extremely high. It's only 10 to the fourth. What we plan to do is use optical dilution to mitigate this thermal noise issue. So we know that Q is the total energy stored in the system divided by the loss rate of the energy loss. So if we can store the energy mostly in the optical field, because the optical field is supposed to be lossless, so then we can increase the Q of the effective Q of the system. But we have to be careful to this optical dilution, because the first thing, because we have an optical force applied on this suspension, so we have to be careful. The first thing is called central percussion issue. So if you apply the force to the central percussion, so this mass is moved like a spring and mass. But if you apply the force at the bottom of the mass below the central percussion, you can see that this pendulum is not moving like a pendulum, but there's some bending. You can see this strain energy distribution inside the test mass, the mirror. Then you have an internal loss, because this loss is 10 to the Q is 10 to the fourth. So that's the one issue. And another issue is we call the acceleration loss, because of this optical spring force apply on the surface, you can drive the whole internal mode of this small mirror. So this internal mode will create, you know, the material, because the materials have high loss, and then you can dissipate the energy and reduce your effective loss. So we did some simulation for that. So the first, this is a flow curve. It's we have a 30 micron square mirror with a thickness of 10 micron and suspension by two ribbons and 15 micron by 6 micron and 25 nanometer ribbon suspensions. And then we can apply the optical force to optical spring to dilute this mechanical resonator. We can achieve the maximum Q around 10 to the 10th, about 170 kilohertz. If we increase the mirror size to 50 micron square, so this is suspension mode frequency is reduced, you get more dilution, but this acceleration loss play at the lower frequency. You can reach the maximum Q at the lower frequency. Again, if we keep the same size as the first one, but increase the suspension ribbon length, so you can see that there's a deep there. That's because of the optical spring frequency is matched to the ribbon mold, suspension mold. So the Q is dramatically reduced because of this coupling. So this is the real thing of this Argus mirror, and we have an Argus coating material attached to the 0.5 millimeter thick silicon frame. So we have multi windows of this membrane, coating material with different size of window. So this is the one of the windows we machined with FIB and create this the cantilever. So this cantilever is around the frequency around 110 kilohertz. So what we next stage we plan is plan to sing this area to create and then create a suspension by the membrane first, then we cut this central area, create a ribbon suspension. So that's the next stage we are going to do. So that's all for me.
So when you optimize your resonators, you take into account the porting thermal noise, so that you want to...
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So what, can you give us just order of magnitude for the porting thermal noise at that?
What do you mean porting thermal noise?
Yeah, right. Okay, so the surface, whatever it comes from, like...
Yeah, so this is the, we call this acceleration loss.
Okay,
yeah.
So what? How much
is it
compared to the suspension noise?
So the curve here we show here include all the elastic, somewhat elastic, and all the noise. Yeah.
So why do you call it acceleration?
Because it's the obvious spring force accelerate the internal modes of the mirror.
This is really a substrate from
This is a substrate and coating. This is a 30 layer of coating.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering why you need a name for it.
I don't know. Just a feel. Yeah.
Yeah, so this curve is all at room temperature.
No. It's I can't remember, 40K or 50K. It's also this small expansion. Yeah,
okay.
Somebody last. Yeah.
For the PIs, is the active damping completely out of the picture? Because that's still kind of a viable option maybe to get rid of, or maybe in combination with the passive damping, like this should be kept kind of alive, because the way it's done right now, the overlap of the ESD, as you know, is pretty bad or kind of arbitrary. So if there would be an actuator which can act on a matrix, like you could make a much better coupling to many different modes.
That's right. Yeah, so hopefully we can design something, without any need, without necessary to do any active damping. Yeah. So that's the idea.
Well, I think a combination might be good. I think the passive is still...
It's a fail. At least you can, it's just a minimum number of unstable modes after the active, after the passive. So it's easier to manage.
So how do you do active damping for this?
Well, it could be, for example, radiation pressure with some sort of actuator that can project an image, for example, which of course needs to be fast enough, maybe some multi-dimensional laser or some laser actuator with a certain number of pixels which overlap better. I mean, it can be a noise question as well, but on the other hand, you don't need very much to keep these modes down.
Okay, if there are no other questions, then let's thank Joe again.
Thank you.